It's Current State on WKAR. There's a jazzy celebration in town this Friday night from the MSU College of Music. MSU Director of Jazz Studies Rodney Whitaker and the professors of jazz play in Cook Recital Hall in the MSU Music Building starting at 8. And oh yeah, it's Rodney Whitaker's birthday, too. WKAR's Melissa Benmark spoke with Whitaker about the milestone.
Well, you know, this is actually my 45th birthday celebration. I had a 40th birthday concert, and we had such a good time. And originally, you know, I set it out as like sort of a birthday celebration, and then I retracted, but I had already submitted, so they went with the idea. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'll just tell some stories and have a good time musically. So, and it's great to get an opportunity to celebrate my birthday with the community, but also to celebrate it with my members of the professors of jazz.
Well, you have to be our age to know about having a record birthday. The previous record birthday that you had was 33 and a third, and the next one would be 78, right? So 45?
That's funny. Wow, 45. That is quite remarkable.
Do you remember your first 45?
My first 45? Yeah, my first one was that I actually purchased was Donny Hathaway's This Christmas.
Very special Christmas for me.
I think I was 14. I heard it on the radio, and I ran out and bought my first 45.
So what will you and the other professors of jazz be playing?
Well, we're going to play, you know, we have a new CD out called Better Than All Right, and we will play selections from them. You know, we're jazz musicians, so we wait till the last minute to decide our repertoire.
What do you think is the most important in rehearsing in terms of feeling what other people are doing in your band? Is it a real visual thing, or is it more of a sound thing?
Yes, is the answer. It's visual. And rehearsing is interesting for us because, you know, jazz players, we talk a lot about feeling. And so when we rehearse, you know, of course, we're trying to hone the notes and that sort of thing and perfect the parts. But sometimes it's really about just getting a feel for what the music is going to be like, because it often changes. And sometimes, even though we have written parts, we change the notes or we change the phrasing or we change something. So it's really about getting the feel for what might happen, and you can't really predict. And that's the beauty of jazz.
You must have to know each other well enough to know how far is too far to go in terms of throwing the other players a curve.
Well, there's no such thing as going too far with jazz. I mean, one of the things is we've all listened to the music. I mean, it is a rare music that the whole recorded history of the music is recorded. You know, so for example, we all have reference points. So generally, when you're improvising, you know, you don't come out of nowhere with something. There's, you know, you've heard someone do something before, and there's all these quotes and things that people have already played. And so we have that as a reference point. But there's no such thing as how far to go. You know, you can go as far as you want to go. That's the beauty of jazz.
This new CD, is it originals or not originals, or what kind of songs are on it?
Actually, the new CD is a two CD set, actually, of music that we recorded. We had a commission a couple years ago from the Greater Lansing Arts Council, where we had a piece called Spanish Tinge that Diego Rivera wrote. ATN Charles wrote Jazz in the Caribbean, and I wrote a piece called Jazz Up South about the African-American migration. And then Reggie Thomas, who just came on to faculty, wrote several new pieces. I'd probably say almost every tune is an original tune, except we have one standard that I arranged featuring our guitarist, Perry Hughes. But it's all original music, and for those interested, it's available on shop.msu.
Since we're observing a birthday, do you remember what the earliest age was that you started listening to jazz, or maybe got your first jazz record?
I first began listening to jazz at 13, and I figured what year that was. I have to do the math. But my first jazz LP, I think I was in eighth grade. And I was coming home from school, and one of my neighbors saw me carrying an upright bass. I just started playing bass. So it had to be September sometime like that. And he almost broke his leg tripping down the steps to run and give me two jazz albums. And the two albums were John Coltrane's Soul Train is the name of the record. And the second one is Miles Davis' Seven Steps to Heaven. And he let me know that both bass players on the record, both Paul Chambers and Ron Carter, were from Detroit, and they both went to Cass Tech. And so he said, so that, for me, that gave me sort of like a legacy. I'm a part of something. So that was the first day I wanted to be a jazz musician.
It's a pretty young age to figure that out. I wonder sometimes, because the one thing that every musician, regardless of what kind of music they play, always says is that there was someone in their life who, you know, in our old age, played records for us.
Oh, yeah.
And because everybody wears headphones these days, I mean, I know I hate to sound like young kids today, but I wonder sometimes if people share music the way we used to when we were kids, or our friends used to share music with us, or some parent or older person used to share music with us. I mean, I want that. I guess concerns me, just because it seems like so much of music is people sharing and turning each other onto it.
Well, I think the challenge of the time is that they share music in a different way, but it's not as interactive as it was when we grew up. And what we did here a couple years ago in the jazz program, our mantra is, you can't listen to music by yourself. And that's because the thing that goes along, I mean, if I give you access to my files, you can look at what I'm listening to and sort of check it out, but then you don't get the stories that I'm telling you while I'm telling you about this music. Because there may be a story behind why I like this song, or some story about the music or the making of the music that students are missing out on. So a couple years ago, we said, well, you need to listen together. You guys need to get together and have listening parties. And so a lot of the students are starting to do that, and they realize the value of it. But I think in this time, people are sharing music and probably sharing more music than we did, but they're missing the point. The reason why I'm in love with jazz is not just because of the music, but it's also a documentation. I can go back and track who turned me on to this particular song. And it's a way of keeping the memories of all those people that I had an opportunity to be mentored by.
That was MSU Director of Jazz Studies Rodney Whitaker with Melissa Benmark.